I'm Marcia Rushing, and my father is an alcoholic. Those are my qualifications for being here. He suffers from a disease, and it's alcoholism. And when my mother's Al-Anon sponsor tried to convince her of this and sell on this idea of a disease, I don't think she bought it for a long time. But after an awful lot of discussions on this, she finally gave in and said she'd go along with it being a disease, but by God, she couldn't figure out why he couldn't get something respectable like tuberculosis. But we like him the way he is, so we wouldn't trade it now. Alateen is very close to my heart. It is probably the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I guess you hear that from many places and it seems trite, but it's not. Because I wouldn't be standing here talking to you now if it hadn't done for me what it had. Whether my father had come into AA and had been sober the same length of time he is now, if I had not found Alateen, the situation would not be the same. I guess I have my own crusade about this because I've been told by many people, you're wrong, my children weren't affected by my drinking. And I've heard that so many times, and I just can't believe it. So if there's any message I bring to you today, I hope it is that your children have been affected. They need your understanding, and God knows they need Alateen. So that's my pitch for Alateen, and I hope you all know that I love it as much as I love you and what you've done for our family. You know, I believe that God works in mysterious ways, the God of my understanding anyway. I float along and things go great for a while, and I have a really good job and I like school, and things just, you know, are great. But you forget to be grateful. And this is my big hang-up. When I say God works here, it's by bringing a bitter taste to my mouth, I'll say like that, or a bitter taste to my thoughts. I remember the past. I remember the fears. I remember the hurt. And I remember the destruction that was coming fast to our family. There were four of us. We lived under the same roof, and there were four worlds operating in this one house. My father had his alcohol. I could go 3-4 weeks without seeing him at all, and I hated this because I loved this man more than anything in the whole world. He could do nothing wrong, and he was my father, and I dare you to say anything bad about him. My mother was a different story. She was not an alcoholic, but she was the biggest nag I had ever met in my entire life. She pushed him out of our house every day. It was her fault he was gone. If I had been old enough to drink, I would have gone with him. You know, I thought, listen, why don't you understand? You're pushing him away. You yell because he's not home. Why do you think he's not home? He can't put up with your screaming either. And I hated her. I despised the ground she walked on because she pushed the man I loved out of my life. My sister was the exact opposite. My mother was Shirley Temple. She... Now, how will I put how she thought about my father? To put it nicely, she thought he was a low-rent drunk. My sister and I were not compatible. Master of understatements here, I believe. We were no comfort to each other. We were on opposite ends of the track. So, where was I? I was so frightened. I didn't know what was happening to our family. I knew we were different. But what could I do? I think that when I really realized our home was different was every morning before we went to Sunday school. My mother would drag my father out, throw him into the big chair, and lecture him. My sister and I were up trying to have breakfast and get ready for Sunday school, you know, in our nice and sweet frills, you know, and here was this man shaking, literally. And here was this woman standing over him just beating him, you know. Why do you do this? Why? How can you do this to us? I just didn't understand it. I knew this was not the way it was supposed to be. At least I didn't know how it was supposed to be because I'd never seen a family that, you know, really did things together and the ideal family, let's say. I don't know that there are many of those around. I know there are a lot of people that like to make you think that's the way it is. But I'm not sure there are many of those around. But I do know I'd go over to a friend's house and after school and we'd have dinner about 5:30. And her whole family would come in and sit down together at the dinner table. This amazed me. I could not imagine our family sitting together at a dinner table for an hour trying to eat food and digest our food without killing each other. It just didn't make it. So I knew we were different. I didn't like it, but I didn't know enough to really wish for something good. I wished for something else, but I didn't know what it was. Another time when I knew that our family was different, this is hard to talk about because you can't imagine how lonely, well, I'm sure you can, how lonely you can be at times. As I said, my sister and I were not close. The way we felt about our parents kept us divided constantly. And at night, we slept together in the same room. And at night, about 3 o'clock, we'd wake up and we'd be crying because we could be quiet for a minute and listen. And there was screaming and yelling going on in the other room. My father had just come in. And here was the big scene. And it hurt. If you only knew how much it hurts your children. This was one of the hardest things because fear, you can't fight it. And I find now I can wake up in the middle of the night and I'm cold. And I lay there and I think, oh God, what is it? And I listen, but it's quiet. The fussing's gone, and there's beauty and happiness where there was fear. So you can't beat it. But here I say, God brings it back to you. He doesn't want you to forget. You have to remember this so you can continue to grow. When you forget it, when you get in a rut, it's over. You may get to a certain point in AA, but if you can't remember the bottom, you don't remember anything. If you remember the good times, you just don't remember anything. Because it wasn't the good times that brought you to AA. It was the nights you were scared, lonely, and thought the world was going to end or crumble around you. Well, life proceeded, and as we all know, the disease of alcoholism grows deeper and deeper until it destroys, or either there's recovery. My father was down the road to destruction. I couldn't believe it. I didn't understand it. I didn't even know he had a disease. I just knew he wasn't home when I needed him there and that things weren't right. Well, on Saturday mornings, he had a laundry route. He was a big laundry truck driver, and he took his prized daughter with him. And I rode with him on these mornings, and we laughed, we would sing, we'd joke, and I was the happiest human alive, truly. There was nothing like it. Here was this man that I loved more than anything, and here I had him all to myself all day long without my mother around, without my sister around, anybody cutting in on my time. Had him all to myself, and I loved it. It was great for a while, and then he got sicker. And the day came that he shook so badly, I don't know how we made it to the town, went to the places we had to, and made it home that night without being killed. Truly, God was with us because he couldn't have been driving that truck. He was shaking so badly. And I remember he kept telling me, you know, he didn't want me to be worried. He kept saying, boy, it's windy out today, you know, and here's the truck going. So I still don't believe that was the wind. But he didn't want me to be frightened. And he tried so hard. But he was shaking so badly that the only thing that was going to help him was a drink. Sounds stupid to me. The thing that puts you in the mess is the only thing that can make you stop shaking, but it's true. And he had to have that drink. Well, I guess it's his way of protecting me. He wasn't going to take the drink right there in the truck in front of me. But I knew he was going to. It's strange it happened like this, but he got out of the truck and walked back into the woods a little way so he could have his drink. Why, I don't know, but I looked into the rearview mirror and I saw him take the drink. I'd seen my father so drunk he could not get out of the bed. I'd seen him shake practically to death. I'd seen him sick, and I'd seen him sober, but I'd never seen him take a drink. And it did something to me. Here I had been going with him for weeks, and I'd been his little pride and joy, and I had kept him from drinking. Get that? I kept him from drinking. He would not drink around the daughter he loved so much. He got sick and he took a drink. How dare he do that to me? I was crushed. Totally crushed. Don't tell me a 10-year-old or 11-year-old can't have false pride so bad it eats their insides out. You think pride is something that adults master, something that conquers adults. Don't bet on it. Well, we had to go home this night. To say the least, it was a little quiet on the trip back. Every other time I'd gotten home, here was the old biddy standing at the door. Did he take a drink? Did he take a drink? Did he take a drink? And I had, you know, fluttered my feathers and said, oh, of course not. How dare you think he'd take a drink around me? Well, this night, when I got home, there she was as usual. Plus, we were a little late. Standing at the door, did he take a drink? Was the question that was going to come out. But I didn't let it. Jumped out, ran up the steps. Mama, don't fuss at him, don't fuss at him. He had to. He was so sick, he had to take it. He had to take it. I made excuses for him. To me, that's a turning point. Because I made excuses for something I despised. I didn't want to face that he didn't love me enough to quit drinking, to not drink around me, to be home when I wanted him to be. I couldn't face it. It was too much. But here it happened, and I had to. And I made excuses for him. And I'm not proud of that. I guess here, my world ended to an extent. I remember, no longer did I love my father. I had learned something about him. When I came into Alateen, they tried to explain to me that this was a bad time because he did have this disease. But you think of a disease of being physically sick, some distortion, something like this that you can see. This disease I couldn't understand. This was a disease of choice. And he made the wrong choice, I thought. Thank God I learned differently, or my feelings might not be the same for my father as they are now. But it was rough. And again, I was afraid and I was alone. I remembered that this was the first time I had been ashamed to bring my friends home. I had been ashamed to go out. For some reason, I clung to home. I hated home, but I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go out, and I didn't want anyone there with me. And then God brought our family AA. My daddy got sober. My mother went into Al-Anons. My sister went into Alateen. I was out in the cold. I didn't want it. I wasn't ready for it. Things weren't easy after he first came into AA. I guess he was on one big dry drunk. He was dry. He wasn't sober. His mind was still floating, I think. He had problems functioning. But he was on the road to recovery. Finally, I was old enough to go to Alateen. And I went and I listened. My sister no longer hated my father. She had come to a point. She told him she never wanted him back in our house again because if he stepped in the front door, she was leaving. And she meant it. She hated him. She meant it. Mine was different. I hated him too, but it was because he'd hurt me. I didn't hate him for what he'd done to us. I felt he had let me down. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how my father could do this. But Alateen showed me. The discussions are great. Talking about the things that really get to you. Talking about the feelings you feel. And learning it's not hate, but it's resentment. You may not think there's much difference in the word, but to a child who is putting this with their parent, there's a big difference. Resentment you can get over if you work at it. Hate eats you up, and you can't fight it. Well, I grew enough that again our relationship became great. Things were good again between my father and I, and even my sister. Except there was one flaw in the system. My mother was still there. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, she was the same. Okay, I admit she toned it down a little bit. But still, the same old stuff. And I thought, Mother, here is this man. He's doing all this great stuff, and you still just can't get over it and forget it in one day? I don't understand. I mean, you've only been living with him 20-something years, you know, and you've only been going through this hell on earth for 20 years, but why can't you get over it in one day? You know, I don't understand. But she was growing. Things were getting very good between the three of them, and I was being left out because I couldn't fight this resentment of her. Well, one day, my sister had had it. She came in. She says, I want you to sit down. I've had it. I want to talk to you. Okay. So I listened. She says, all right, I want to tell you something about our mother. She said, you've cut her down. You have caused problems for her from the word go. You've been a pain in the neck. And I want you to realize it. She said, but I want you to know why I think you're wrong. She said there were times when it had been cold. My dad had been drunk all night, had the car. And my mother got up and walked to work. Because if he was drunk for a full week, we didn't get that paycheck. But if she went to work, at least we got hers. And she says, I want you to know that. She says, I want you to know, what would you have done if Daddy had killed some innocent person in a car wreck? What would you have done? Can you imagine how we would have felt and the responsibility Mother had? This meant nothing to me. It didn't go through. And then she said the craziest thing I've ever heard of. She says, come with me. We went into my mother's room. She opened up the closet door. She says, look at those shoes. Look at her shoes. And I did. There weren't even soles in them. Every penny had gone to us. I can't tell you how guilty and how ashamed I was. There's not any way. I couldn't fight it, though. It depressed me completely and totally, and I couldn't shake it. But there was an Al-Anon. I don't know if you know her. She's dead now. Louise Foy. And she was a big part of our lives. She was dying from a disease also. And I watched her many times sitting in our living room, just having nothing but patience. She listened to me. She sat there and she was just nothing but an angel, really. That's what she was. And she looked at me and she says, "Honey, if you feel guilt, that's good." She says, "But remember, the 12 steps are not only for the alcoholics, but they're for you too. Make amends wherever possible." She says, "You have that chance. Now you can use it or you can throw it away." And through Alateen, thank God I learned to use it. My mother and I have a special closeness. I guess it's because of all the trouble we went through. I wouldn't trade her. She's wonderful. And she's my friend. And she's my mother. And I'm proud of that. But AA gave her back to me. AA brought our family back together. I wish I could say everything was rosy from here on. Things were great compared to what they had been. I grew in Alateen and I loved it. And I loved my parents and I loved my life. But then one day, my mother's brother, who is an alcoholic, his wife, who is an alcoholic and addicted to drugs, decided they would put their two daughters and their young son in an orphanage, get a divorce, go their separate ways, and forget it. My mother wasn't going to have it. We had just gotten our family back, and she wasn't going to see another family destroyed like this. I have an aunt and uncle who couldn't have children, so they took the little boy, who was just a baby. And here, I think my father had been sober about a year and a half. They still didn't have ends waving at each other as far as financial troubles. But my mother stood up and she says, "We're going to take those two girls and you're not going to separate them." She said, "They're sisters and they're going to stay together." And my dad backed her up. So they came into our home. And I had two sisters, one about 4 years old and one about 7. I didn't like it. I did not like them coming in and again cutting in on my time. I was a selfish brat. It was hard because here, for 1 year, things had really been great. And here come these two girls taking over their time. And my father, of all people, who's getting this attitude, "It's my chance to start over. I can do for them everything I couldn't do for you." I thought, "Look, I haven't left yet. How about me, you know?" I didn't like this attitude. It caused trouble. And it caused friction. And in a kid's way, a kid can be the cruelest person to another kid in the entire world. Believe me. The things I did. Thank God both of them can sit and talk with me now and we can laugh about it. Even when I laugh, I still feel uncomfortable because I'm ashamed. They had nothing. Their parents were ready to give them up. and they had absolutely nothing. And I was jealous because my parents wanted to give them part of what we had. It's not a very good record. It doesn't make me a very good person. But again, I had Alateen. I sat there and I told them, I don't like this. I feel pushed out. I don't like it. I admitted things to them that I knew in the back of my mind that I didn't want to say because they didn't sound right. I knew they were wrong and they didn't sound right. But I had these people to talk to. I had these people to learn how to fight this resentment. And more as time went on, they showed me what I had. And I guess by shaming me to an extent, they showed me where I was wrong. And I thank God for it. They're no longer two strangers who came in to rob me of my parents. They're my sisters. They're brats. They're just at the age to really bug you. But it's a different type now. And I love them. AA made it possible for us to bring them there. If my father had still been drinking, we couldn't have brought him into our homes. There was no way. The wonderful things that AA does. Look around you. The person right next to you has felt something just exactly like this. In any AA group, you can sit right next to somebody and you know they felt the exact same thing. You wake up one morning. I use morning in a symbolic sense, not like you wake up. Things don't get rosy overnight. But you finally realize over a period of time what AA is. I'll never give it up. I may be a 30-year-old Alateen, Chris. I don't know. I'll never give it up. It's mine. It's close to my heart. Because it gave me my family back. And what more is there? We're not rich by any means, materially. But we are as rich as anyone you can find, spiritually and in our family. Thank God for it. Thank God for AA. You know, I used to bargain with God. I used to say, God, if you'll make him sober, I'll do this. I'll be the kind of girl I should be, God. I guess it's a little girl's prayer, I don't know. But God showed me, you don't bargain with them. You just say, here I am, God, now do what you will. It's funny. You think of giving yourself up and not having your defensive, you get stomped on. That's not the way it is. You get blessed. This morning, we're talking about how nervous you are before you speak. And I was thinking, well, I say the same thing. I say the same things over again. Why shouldn't I? My past is the same as it's always been. If I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be the same. Hopefully, through growth in AA, your perspective will change some, but my story is the same. The things that happened, happened. Honesty, something I learned to deal with in AA. I never realized what a big part honesty plays in your life. But you can wrap around yourself this big web of existing. And then God sends you somewhere like Mont Eagle. And you see, this is what I have to be grateful for. How can I go home, get up, and go to work, and go to school, and be bored. How? When this is what he's given me. I thank God for you people. And I love each and every one of you. Love's a funny word. It's been used so many times in so many ways. But my favorite is when it's used as AA love. And I think you know it and you understand it. So there's no reason for me to explain it. I want to say thank you to the people who had me here, the assistant, and the big chairman. I love being with you people. And thank God. And please keep on keeping on.